encourage you to take a Bible and to turn to the passage that was read for us a few moments ago in Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like us to start at the beginning of that chapter, which begins with a passage that I think is familiar to all of us, but a passage that talks to us about the nature of faith. And the words say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." As Christians, I think it is safe for us to say that much of what our life and faith depends upon is a willingness to see that which is unseen. We cannot travel to heaven. We cannot point physically to Jesus and God and tell people about Him because we have observed Him with our senses. And sometimes we are mocked because of that, an attitude and a willingness to trust in and believe in something that we cannot see with our eyes. But I think we must recognize that this is really something that is necessary in many aspects of our life. For example, if we ever work towards a goal, we must have a willingness to see that goal before us, even when it is not a reality, and to work to try to bring about that desired result. When we are hoping for improvement in some area, we look at something as we don't want it to be, and we see in our mind's eye what we hope it will be, and we strive to achieve that. Or even when we demonstrate patience in times of difficulty, we must assume that things can be better, and so we see that which is unseen. This passage that begins this chapter, I think, talks to us about that very idea. Understand that in Christ, our faith is not something that is built on imagination. Our faith is not something that's just an I wish kind of thing. It is grounded upon the Word of God. And I think that's why here the Hebrew writer will describe the fact that it is evidence of things not seen. If, as Romans 10 verse 17 tells us, faith comes from the Word of God, that is evidence of things that we're not in a position to be able to see at this point, but nonetheless, it is the evidence of those things not seen. In Hebrews chapter 11, there is a statement that is made. There are a number of statements that are made about Moses that I'd like us to go back and take a look at some of those verses that were read for us a few moments ago. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 24, says, "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." In this passage, I want us to notice some things that are said about Moses here. And I want us to notice in these three invisible things, if you will, that this passage tells us that Moses saw by faith. First, I want us to notice that the passage points out that Moses was able to see what is important for each and every one of us to understand, and that is the true nature of sinful pleasures. In that passage, you'll notice there in the text, in verse 25, that he chose to suffer afflictions with the people of God rather than the passing pleasures of sin. You know, if as Christians, when we try to encourage others to turn away from sin, it would be a mistake for us to try to tell people that there is not some immediate pleasure that comes from sin. There would not be a temptation. There would not be any allure to sin if there were not immediate pleasures that come. But what is important for us to understand, and common sense can tell us to a degree, but the Word of God tells us to an even greater extent, these pleasures quickly pass and ultimately will end in bitterness. We see that in the case of things like alcohol and drugs. We see that in the case of fornication. There are very specific kinds of real consequences that come to the drug addict, to the alcoholic, to the one that engages in promiscuous sexual behavior. You understand that in other areas as well this is true. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 with me, and let's notice what I believe Solomon, through the Holy Spirit, declares about the very idea of fame and popularity. We often imagine that those that are in a position of fame, they've achieved. They are such a great success. It's so sad to see on the news how often it may be that those that have attained notoriety and popularity, often their life ends in disgrace. But even if that's not the case, you know, those that are popular at one time will not continue to be so. The Holy Spirit points out here in Ecclesiastes 4, beginning in verse 13, "Better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will still be admonished no more. For he comes out of prison to be a king, although he was born poor in his kingdom. I saw all the living who walk under the sun. They were with the second youth who stands in his place. There was no end of all the people over whom he was made king. Yet those who come afterward will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and grasping for the wind." We can know that those that are in a position now of great fame and power, as time goes on, if the Lord allows the world to stand, that will pass away. And we can understand that from what we are told in Scripture. And Moses understood that even though he could have been in a position in which he could have attained greatness in Egypt, there was more. We see this as well when it comes to dishonesty. You know, it may be that lying brings about some kind of immediate escape or some kind of immediate reward. We understand, as Scripture reveals, that those who are liars will have their place in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. God's Word is that which can tell us things as they really are. In this beautiful passage in Psalm 19, I'd like us to notice, turn with me to Psalm 19, and let's read together verses 9 through 11. Psalm 19, verses 9 through 11. "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honeycomb." We sing this song from time to time. But I want you to notice verse 11, which tells us the real value of this. "Moreover, by them," that is, by the word of God, "your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is reward." Moses was able to see that sin is not all it's cracked up to be. But let's notice a second thing that Moses was able to observe, and that is he was able to observe the reward of suffering the reproach of Christ. Remember in the text, it mentions that he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. It's a powerful statement, and as we think about what is meant here by the reproach of Christ, there are a couple of ways we might be able to take that. It is either talking about the same kind of punishment and treatment and ill will that others poured out on Jesus when we are in Christ, when we are doing what's right, and Moses, when he chose to do what was right, he suffered for that, didn't he? Or it could be talking as well about the reward that would be gained by the reproach to be suffered by Christ. Either way, it is clear as we think about Moses in this passage, as we think about what this teaches us about the kind of people we ought to be, that our faith is the reward. Faith in the reward, excuse me, is the secret of being able to continue and to endure through suffering. And this is something that our unbelieving friends are not going to understand. Moses, I am certain, those people that were his friends and companions when he was raised in Pharaoh's house, and yet he chose to forsake that, did not understand why he would do that. Certainly would not have thought what he was doing was wise. Why, Moses, would you leave a position of such fame and prominence? Why not just be called Pharaoh's son and receive that glory and honor? You know, the same thing is true with us. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. When we choose to live in ways that deny ourselves certain passing pleasures of sin, when we choose to pursue a faith in Christ that demands that we live different than the world, our friends, our neighbors that are unbelievers are going to think it strange. Peter tells us through the Holy Spirit here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, in regard to these, it's just mentioned some of the sinful behaviors the world practices. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Why don't you do those things? That's silly. Why are you so puritanical? Why is it that you can't do what we can do? They think it strange. They speak evil of you. Verse 5. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Seeing the unseen is that which can carry us through suffering. Seeing that there is a reward beyond this life helps us to recognize that, yes, there may be passing pleasures that are to be found in sin, but they're not going to last. But there is something beyond this life that will last. And if we can maintain our faith, if we can look for that reward rather than the immediate, temporary rewards of sin, we too will gain that reward. I want us to notice in Hebrews chapter 12 that we see examples of how looking to that reward can bring us through. In Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2, we see in the example of Jesus that Jesus, for that which lay before him, was able to endure the cross. Notice Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, after just listing this great list of those who are faithful, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Notice, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, have you ever thought about that? What reward, what joy was set before Jesus? He had come from heaven. He would return to heaven. It was not something that didn't lay before him whether he went to the cross or did not go to the cross. I am of the opinion that the joy that was set before him, the only difference is it reconciled sinful man back to him. He saw that as a joyous reward. Having an eternal relationship with you and I was something that carried him through that suffering. We too should see it the same way. That joy of having an eternal relationship with God in the age to come. That joy of being able to live with him forever, like Jesus, can carry us through those things. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and let's notice what Paul tells us through the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Notice, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together. That's like we read in Hebrews 11. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ, being willing to suffer what he suffered, to go through what he suffered. But notice the text doesn't stop there. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Moses was able to see, even at a time when it was not visible to him, when it was not evident to him, that there was a reward. But I want us to notice finally that Moses was also able to see what we could call the superior power of an invisible king. You know, many of us have probably seen movies that portray Egypt and its grandeur and its glory, and what a marvelous thing it is to be brought before the Pharaoh, and a fearful kind of thing, you know, in a time in which Egypt was one of the greatest powers of the ancient world. Certainly would have been an intimidating kind of thing. And we understand that when Moses killed an Egyptian, he fled. But I don't think that's necessarily what this passage is talking about. Notice verse 27 of our text. By faith, he forsook Egypt. And I think that's talking not simply about the choice he made when he fled because he killed an Egyptian. When he began to stand up for his people. And then when he comes back and with God's instruction seeks to deliver them. Notice, then he did not fear the wrath of the king. Why? For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Think about that. I recognize that in this text, it doesn't specifically speak of God as king, but elsewhere in Scripture, we will see the Lord described in that way. Jesus certainly is King of kings and Lord of lords. But you know, that's something when we're talking about earthly power and we are comparing, am I going to fear what man says or am I going to fear the one who made me? Am I going to fear my heavenly king? Moses recognized that there was something greater that he needed to esteem. Now, if we think in this text about what fear means, if we take it to mean respectful obedience, and I think it's safe to say he always feared the invisible king, but not the visible king, Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh threatened. Pharaoh had all sorts of power, supposedly. And yet Moses was able to see him who is invisible. I want us to end with a passage in Psalm 23 that is familiar to all of us, but that urges us to see that very thing that Moses saw. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, notice this, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Moses saw him who is invisible. But he saw more than that. He saw the true nature of the sinful things of this life. He saw as well that looking to that reward can carry us through whatever difficulties, whatever reproach of Christ we too must bear. And he ultimately saw that it matters much more that we esteem and obey our heavenly King rather than any authority that is here upon earth. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I urge you today to see that which is unseen. There will come a time in which what appears to be reality now will fade away. And then those spiritual, eternal things will be what matters the most. Put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent and turn from sin that would separate you from God. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And the Lord will add you to His people. If as a child of God, you've had difficulty seeing the unseen, you've been allured by the passing pleasure of sin, and take advantage of the opportunity to ask for prayers. Won't you come while we stand and sing?